Well, we are wrapping up our series. If you've been here the last couple of weeks, we've been in this series called Is That You, God? And we're going to wrap that up today talking about the storms that we face. In the storm, hearing the voice of God, what does that look and sound like? Before we get into that, quick announcement. We mentioned it a couple times now, but our kids' ministry, if you've got a first through fourth grader, here in a couple weeks, September 11th, they're going to be having an adventure camp right here at Washington Heights Church, and we encourage you to get those kiddos signed up. Here's a quick little announcement about that from our awesome kids team. Check this out.
What's up, WHC kids? I'm Miss Manny.
And I'm Miss Chastity.
Do you need a different tool for that?
Yeah, that would probably work better. And that's what Construction Adventure Camp is all about this year. We are all under construction, and we all can live a happy and full life with God's great tools that He gives us. Manny, where do they get registered?
You can register your kids first through fourth grade on our website, whc.faith. It's going to be Saturday, September 11th, 2 to 6, and afterwards, we're having a free barbecue.
Whoa, I am so hungry already.
I can't wait. We hope to see you all there.
It's going to be a great time. I encourage you to get those kiddos signed up. You can visit our website over in our kids ministry. There's paper signups, or there's a little QR code. You can scan that as well. All right, let's jump in today. We are talking about being in the storm. If you brought your Bible, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 14. If you didn't, that's okay. We've got it on the screens. And I want to jump in just talking about this situation we're going to be facing. Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 22, it says, immediately he, Jesus, made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. Pause. They just got done. Jesus got done performing this incredible miracle of feeding over 5,000 people based off of a couple of loaves of bread and some fish. He duplicated this food and people got to eat. So right after this, he dismisses the crowds, sends his disciples off, and after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain to pray by himself. When the evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. If you've been in Utah for any amount of time, we get those crazy windstorms that come up that just kind of come out of nowhere and take you by surprise. But have you ever been in a storm that you thought was gonna, like, this is it, this is my time to go? Like, God's taking me off the planet because here comes a storm. Has anyone ever been to Lake Powell? Oh, guys. Utah is amazing, and Lake Powell just screams of God's beauty. If you haven't been, you gotta go at least once in your life to check it out. So we grew up going to Lake Powell during the summer as kids, and we'd go spend a week, you know, in a houseboat on the lake. It was a killer time. If you've ever seen Lake Powell, this is kind of what it looks like, high-level view. Now, when you look at it, it looks more like a river than anything, and it doesn't look that big. You know, when you think of your typical lake, you kind of think of this round, circular shape type of body of water. This looks more like a river, and it doesn't look too intimidating when you look at it from a high level. This place is massive. It is so big, and it takes you by surprise when you get there. I took a trip earlier this year. I went camping. There's a little place, I think it's right about there. It's called Alstrom Point. It kind of has this like overlook on just a little sliver of the lake. In fact, this is what it looks like. This is a picture I took from this little spot. Thank you very much. And you're looking down upon this lake, and you kind of get a view, a picture of the grandness, right? This place is huge, and all you're seeing, this lake that you're seeing here, is like this much out of this much. You're seeing just a small little sliver of the lake. In fact, for a little perspective, that's my truck and tent right there. It's huge. It is massive. It is big. In fact, look, I'll just to prove it. That's me. Okay. You got the picture. When I was about 12 or 13 years old, we were out spending the week on the houseboat, and we had just got there. We got a late start, and we're motoring up the lake. And if you've ever been there, the first kind of lower section of the lake, there's plenty of beaches and all that kind of stuff, plenty of places to park. But if you get a little bit further up the lake, the walls of the of the lake, like the shore, turns into just rock. There's really nowhere to stop. You can't dock or park anywhere. And, you know, typical fashion of, you know, my dad, we'll go around the next corner and then we'll find a spot. Let's go around the next corner and then we'll find a spot. You know what? I think we can make around one more corner and then we'll stop. And it got later and later and later, and the wind started to pick up, the clouds started to roll in, it started raining, and before you know it, we're on the lake in the middle of the night. It is pitch black outside in the middle of a crazy, crazy storm. In fact, at one point, my mom came to me, and she had this look on her face, and she said, "Mike, you need to put on your life jacket." And I looked at her face, and I could see the terror, and I'm like, we're gonna die. This is okay. And I remember my dad, he jumped in. We were towing the speedboat behind the houseboat, and he jumped in. They unhooked the speedboat, and he was in that. And I'm watching him from the back of the houseboat, and I can see just the light, just the front light of that little speedboat. That's all I can see, this little green light come up and then disappear. And then come up and then disappear. And that was, I mean, he's going over these wakes, these rollers across this lake, and I'm like, I'm gonna lose my dad. He's gone. We were legitimately terrified for our lives. We jumped on the radio, we called in a mayday, and before you know it, turns out we were less than 5 minutes away from the next nearest dock. I mean, we were just kind of going in circles because we didn't know where we were going. We couldn't see a thing. And before we know it, two park ranger boats came alongside us, and they said, "Hey, just follow us. Slow down. Calm down. You're okay. Follow us. We're going to guide you in." And they guided us right into one of the docks, and we stayed there for the night, and we were completely fine. But it was one of those moments where we thought, this is the end. And that's where the disciples are. They've been out there getting beaten by these waves. The wind is against them. We're going to read here in a minute that it was the fourth watch of the night, which means anywhere between like 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. And they've been battling these waves, struggling at the oars, trying to get this boat across the lake for hours. They're exhausted, they're tired, and they're terrified, and they don't know what to do. Let's keep reading. It says, "In the fourth watch of the night, he came to them," Jesus came to them, "walking on the sea." I can't even. "But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It's a ghost.' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, 'Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid.'" Now what I'd love to tell you is that as soon as Jesus walked up, and they saw him, boom, the clouds rolled back, the wind calmed down, the seas were nice and smooth, and Jesus, in a very calm and tender, compassionate voice, said, "Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid." But that's not what happens. The wind doesn't stop. The storm didn't cease. The waves are still continuing to beat against the boat, and they are terrified. And Jesus is saying, "Take heart. It's me." The wind's going, "I'm right here. It's okay." Some of you are like, "Whoa, what just happened? Is this church?" He's screaming over the chaos that it's going to be okay. "Take heart. Be of good cheer. I'm right here." And maybe that's where some of you are at today. Maybe you're dealing with something. Maybe you're in a storm that you've been battling for years. Maybe it's your marriage, it's your finances, it's your kids. And you're like, "Okay, yeah, that's great. Jesus is telling his disciples to not be afraid, but do you have any idea what is going on in my life? Do you have any idea the storm that I'm facing right now? Because if you did, you wouldn't be saying, 'Don't be afraid.' You'd be terrified right alongside me." But Jesus is saying, no, focus. I am right here. Don't be afraid. Yeah, but if you only knew, no. Could you imagine this scene unfolding? These disciples are exhausted. And they see some dude walking on the water. And they're like, what is happening right now? The storm is louder than they can even think. And they're trying to make sense of what is going on. And Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, then command me to come out. What? Remember, the storm hasn't stopped. The storm is still going. See, I think a lot of times we try to paint, we read this story, we paint this kind of big picture, perfect image in our head that they're battling this storm, they've been going through it all night, and then Jesus shows up and it's gone. And Peter says, Lord, if that's you. No, he's screaming at the top of his lungs, is that you? If it is, I want to be there where you are. Now, here's what I love about Jesus. Here he is, God in the flesh, the creator of our universe. Walking on the water. And Peter has the guts to say, if that's you, and notice what Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't say, are you watching what's happening right now? You see all this glory happening? You know what, Peter? Just stay in the boat. You're too dumb to get out here anyways. Your faith is gonna fail you. You don't know what you're doing, so just stay in the boat. That's why I love Peter. Peter's like, I want to go. I want to be out there. God doesn't belittle our storms. You think you've got it bad? I had to hang on a cross. You think you're suffering? Do you know what I've been through? Jesus doesn't play that game with our struggles. He says, come on, you want to put your faith to the test? Let's go. And so, I'm sorry, go back. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind and he was afraid, beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me! Help! Maybe you feel that's where you're at. Maybe you tried. Maybe you had the faith. Maybe you bolstered up enough faith to think, okay, if I just need to get out of the boat and then the storm will be gone. I'd love to tell you that when Peter stepped out, the water was nice and calm and it was still, and he graced across the water walking to Jesus, and they started a tap dancing and singing in the rain and kicking water around like good old pals, but that's not what happened. The storm didn't go away when Jesus was there. Peter walked out, even though he's walking on the water, looking at Jesus, he looks away, he looks at his circumstances and it says, it's too much. I don't know how to get through it. I'm drowning. My finances. God, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how I'm going to pay the mortgage. I don't know what's happening in my marriage. Some of you are like, did he hear our conversation on the way to church this morning? Was he in the car? God, my kids, I don't know what to do about my kids. I haven't spoken with my son in 10 years. I'm dealing with this illness. God, my family member that is sick with cancer. God, do you see what's happening across the world? Where are you? Are you there? Save me, God. Maybe that's a storm you're in today. And I want you to take courage in a few things, knowing that Jesus is not going to belittle your storm. He's not going to make fun of you. He's not going to shame you for what your struggle is. When Peter cries out, "Lord, save me," Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took a hold of him and saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why'd you doubt? You were standing on top of water. Why'd you doubt? I'm right here. Why'd you doubt?" Context, understanding where this story takes place in the line of other things. Before this happened, Jesus had sent his disciples out to go perform incredible miracles. They're out healing people. They're out casting demons out of people in the name of God. Could you imagine being one of the disciples and performing these incredible miracles? And on their way back from this incredible experience that his disciples had, they got word that Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, had been beheaded. And they went and told Jesus. And Jesus is like, "Hey, we need to go get away. Let's go find somewhere desolate and alone so we can spend some time in prayer." And in trying to get away, to have a moment of peace, the crowds follow Jesus because they're hanging on to every single word he said, and they wanted to see his miracles. And so the crowds followed him, and there was roughly about 5,000 men at least, not including women or children, that followed them. And rather than saying, "You know what, guys, I'm too tired, I just can't do it," Jesus says, "That's okay, come on." It's starting to get late in the day. And the disciples are like, we need to send these people away, Jesus. They need to go get food. We're kind of in the middle of nowhere." I love Jesus. He goes, "You feed them." What? "You have any idea how many people that is? All we have is a couple loaves of bread and some fish. Bring it to me." And he makes enough food for everyone to eat as much as they wanted with 12 baskets of food left over. So you got these miracles back to back, these incredible things the disciples are seeing. And then immediately following that, Jesus sends them out on the lake. And they're out there struggling. And maybe, how many times have you shamed yourself with guilt during a storm that you faced with those words that Jesus said to Peter, "Oh, you of little faith, why'd you doubt?" And we tend to think, if I could just, you know, earn more faith, I just got to hang on a little bit tighter, I got to force my faith, and then I'll see God show up. Then I'll see the storm stop. There's another version of this story in one of the other Gospels. In Mark chapter 6, he tells the same story without the part of Peter. And Mark says this: "When the evening came, the boat was out of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea." So kind of the same situation. "He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid.'" Now there's one part of this version of this story that's being, you know, kind of given to us that I've never understood. In verse 28, it says he meant to pass by them. He meant to pass by them. Jesus is just out strolling on the lake and he sees his buddies over there just struggling, and he's like, "Hey, what's up, guys? I'm just cruising." Like, what does that mean? And maybe that's how you feel right now. God, I know you can see what I'm dealing with. And I know you have the ability to snap your fingers or say the word and my storm would be gone. But you're out there just walking right by. Can I give you a word of encouragement? That's not what this means. This doesn't mean that he means to go around them. In the Old Testament, Moses, in the book of Exodus, chapter 34, Moses is talking to God, and he's like, you know, God, if I'm sort of this go-to guy of yours that's leading the Israelite nation to this promised land, like if we're supposed to have this connection and I'm supposed to kind of relay what you tell me to all the people, can I see you? Can I witness you? Can you show yourself to me? And God says, I would love to. He says, I can't show you my face. The radiance, the glory, the righteousness, the perfection of God is too much. It would actually kill Moses. So he says, but here's what I'm gonna do. Here's what I'm gonna do. I want you to go and hide between these boulders, and I'm gonna cover your eyes. He says, and then I'm gonna pass by you. And once I've passed by you, I'll remove my hand and you can see just the backside of me. I'm gonna show you my goodness. I can't show you my face, but I'm gonna show you my goodness. And so God hides Moses in the rocks and he kind of between these boulders and he covers his eyes. And then in Exodus 34, it says that God passed by Moses and showed him his glory. And Moses bowed down and worshiped him. See, Jesus never intended to go past his disciples, to bypass them, to say, hey, good luck on your journey, have fun. He came to them to reveal himself in the storm. And I think the same applies to you and I. He doesn't want to go past you. He doesn't want to just dismiss what you're dealing with and say, oh, buck up, just have a little more faith. He wants to reveal who he is. He is the Son of God, the righteousness, the perfection of God who sits at the right hand of the throne. And he wants to reveal himself to you. And then jumping back to Matthew, is probably one of the most frustrating verses of this passage. It says, when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. When they got in the boat, the wind ceased. And I've got to ask myself, why? Why is it that way? Why not when Jesus shows up, the storm is gone? Why not when Jesus calls Peter out of the boat to walk on the water towards him, why doesn't the storm dissipate and go away and he walks to him on calm, glassy seas? See, I think, unfortunately, a pitfall that we fall into is thinking, you know, if I just got to put a little more effort into my faith. I just got to believe a little harder. I got to hang on a little tighter. And that message, that can preach. That can cause everyone to stand up and clap and cheer. And yeah, we just got to have a little more faith. If we just bolster up a little more faith, then God's going to show up and the storm's going to be gone. Peter had enough faith to get out of the boat, but the storm didn't go away. It wasn't until Jesus comes to a place of safety, their place of shelter somewhat from the storm. It wasn't until he gets in the boat with them that the storm then goes away. And I got to ask why. So I think if they were traveling across this lake and there was nothing wrong, there was no issues, and Jesus shows up to reveal himself, it wouldn't have had the same impact. It wouldn't have done anything for them. James, in the book of James, he says to consider it joy when we're going through trials, when we're in a storm, consider it a moment of joy because we know God's going to do something with it. And he's doing the same thing with the disciples. He says, I'm going to use this moment of chaos to reveal myself to you so that you know who I am. I think Jesus wants to reveal a couple of things. First is that it's not a matter of effort that stops the storm. Jesus makes that very clear, right? Peter bolstered up enough faith. You know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to get out of the boat. And all his disciples are like, all right, bro, go for it. We're watching. We're going to watch this guy. Watch Peter. Watch. He's going to fail. I'm putting this on my reel right now. I'm going to get so many follows. Oh my gosh. And then all the comments that follow. What a failure. Idiot. Loser. He tried to walk on water. What a moron. Peter went all out. He got out of the boat. He stood in front of Jesus on the water, and the storm didn't go away. It's not a matter of how much effort we put into our faith. Jesus said, I can take your faith, even if it's the size of a mustard seed, and I can do big things with it. It's not about the boat, right? The boat tends to be that thing that we go to, that place of shelter and safety in the storm. Maybe it's feeling that crave, feeling that need when we're in the thick of it. Maybe it's resorting back to that addiction. Maybe it's finding that person. Maybe it's buying that thing. If I could just get a house, God, then I'd be. If I can pay off my mortgage, God, then I'll be happy. If I could just find this person in my life to marry, then I would be. If I could just have. We try to find that thing that's going to comfort, calm, and make us feel good and safe for the storm to go away. But just like Peter, who got out of the boat, for the disciples in the boat, the storm didn't stop either. Not until Jesus got in the boat. He says, it's not about the boat. It's not about how much effort you put in your faith. This is about me. God revealing myself to you. Jesus is saying, I don't want you for one second to think it's about the boat. What is God trying to reveal to you in your storm? What is he trying to show you? So Jesus gets in the boat. The storm is gone. And just like when God passed by Moses, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. What's Jesus trying to reveal in the storm? That I'm the Son of God. I am the perfection. I am the righteousness. I am God in the flesh. And I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to calm you. I'm going to come to you. I'm going to come to you. The disciples weren't making their way to Jesus. They got on the lake to cross to the other side, and Jesus comes to them. Whatever you're dealing with, whatever battle you've been facing, whatever struggle you're in, whatever storm you've been in, maybe you've been in one for years, and you're like, save me. Where are you? Is that you? He wants to come to you and reveal himself to you. That's his purpose. That's what he's doing. Because then when he reveals himself to you and you see who it is, no matter the storm raging around you, he calms you. Take heart. It's me. Don't be afraid. The storm was still going on. The storm didn't stop, but he's telling them, it's okay. I'm here. And like when Peter sank in the water and Jesus grabs him, he's going to guide you back into the boat. And so what do we do? How do we respond? Just worship him. The disciples, when they saw just exactly who this man was, when Moses saw the power of God passing by, they dropped to their knees and they worshiped him. Hear me. The storm doesn't matter. It matters because it's a big deal to you. But it's not about the storm. And you're like, do you know my storm? Do you know what I'm facing? Do you know the struggles? It's not about the storm. Peter got distracted by the storm. And he sank. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And our response to him is to worship him, to offer our lives to him, to put him first above everything else. In the storm, Jesus comes to reveal himself to us, and we respond by worshiping him. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, the battles and struggles we face, we live in a very broken world, God, and sometimes those struggles take up all of our attention, our energy. They're exhausting. God, and we're asking right now for you to come and reveal yourself to us. Allow us to hear those words, to take heart, to not be afraid, because it is you that comes to us in the storm. And while the storm may not stop when we want it to stop, God, we know that you are there to comfort us. We pray that we can keep our focus, we can keep our faith, we can keep our attention on you. But we know that even when we don't, you will be the first one to grab us and bring us back into the boat. God, whatever battles are being dealt with, Lord, whether that's in this room, people watching online, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would reveal yourself to them so that they can know that you are the Son of God and worship your great name. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for calming us. Thank you for revealing yourself to us. Thank you for guiding us, God. And now it is our prayer that we turn and worship you above all else. We praise your great name. Amen.